Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Just as a reminder, this meeting will be recorded and is subject to public review. With that in mind, please be mindful of any language used, including within the chat function. And the recording has begun now. Okay, yay! Everybody, welcome to the March 2022 agenda for the Fair Housing Advocacy Committee Executive Committee. Just a fun mouthful that we have here. I am going to put the agenda back up on the screen and we should do a quick roll call.
Okay. I told you this is just the executive committee. I was like, where's everybody else? This is terrible.
Worries. So Jay, can if you're here, please officially say here.
Here.
And we all know. Thank you. And Marisa, if you are here, please unmute and say here.
Here.
Okay. And the meeting is officially called to order. Sorry to be a stickler about the chatting, but whenever you two are in the same room, it triggers all the meeting law stuff. So I have to be
okay.
Extra on it. I got our agenda up here today. It only takes us until 3 o'clock. We could go all the way till 3:30 if you want, but as I was putting it together, it doesn't seem like it's quite going to take a full hour and a half to me.
I have a hard stop at 3 anyway. I have to go get my kids. I mean, I could get them with y'all on the phone, so, but
good to know. I don't think we'll need all that time. So kind of to start us off, I wanted to recap the January meeting. It was the first one, with both of you helping to facilitate the discussion, and where we spent a little bit more time digging in with the full committee, about how we would like to move forward, both with subcommittees, and we talked about previous audit report, and we did spend some time kind of just talking overall about the role of FHAC. So I wanted to get both of your thoughts. Feel free to just be unmuted and jump in about how you felt the January meeting went.
I think it went well. There was a gentleman who's a realtor or a real estate guy that kind of threw me for a loop for a sec. I felt like I had to jump in and start put my equity education hat on. And I was about to, I think I did it in the chat or something, but I don't want to have to do that. But other than that, I thought it was a rich conversation. A lot of people stayed out of it, but lots of folks seemed to join in. It seemed well-rounded.
Yeah, I 100% agree with Jay. I thought, we had the recap during that meeting of the previous meeting. Yes. And that was a new thing. And that felt like a really great exercise to get people talking. And Jay, I think you're the one that first even suggested we do that. So I think that was really awesome because, it just felt really important for people to go over the information that stuck with them or questions. And it felt like there was just so much more of like a cohesive discussion. And obviously that kind of led into the other topics in the meeting in a really helpful way too. So I think that's something we should continue doing. Yeah, I agree. There was a few comments in there in that conversation that kind of made me think about the need for education and just sort of level setting around the subject matter that we are dealing with here. Because I know that folks expressed certain, questions and concerns about where we were headed with even just like the past work that the committee has done and then in the future giving advice on the Fair Housing Plan. And for me, I was just thinking a lot about where people are all coming from different places, but also maybe needing some outside time to supplement the discussions we have in the committee to make sure the work moves forward.
Yeah, that's a great point. I did want to kind of do a housekeeping item there specifically with, you know, members of the community that are joining us, and that's great. But we do have a public comment period that's set aside. That's just something we should all be mindful of. We want the public to participate, of course. But if the committee is discussing something and then responds to public comments that are in the chat during that discussion, or folks start unmuting, it can sometimes veer us off, right? Where we just basically insert another public comment period in the middle of, you know, what is supposed to be the committee discussing something. And so I did want to kind of just bring that up as a housekeeping thing that, you know, those comments are there and we can address them. But I think similar to the RSC's approach, we should try to keep that in the time, in that designated time for public comment and public feedback. That's not to say if public comment takes longer and we have a lot of folks participating in that, then let's expand that agenda item, you know, or we can keep going and you know, push a different agenda item that may be following it. But I did want to bring that up as well, because I know we had a little bit of that last time. And also, yes, Marissa, it does seem like it was obvious that there's a lot of different perspectives and experience that's coming to the committee as we enter into these discussions, which is helpful. But
if we can have folks just like dash committee member, so we know who, I don't know the folks on the committee by face. I just see their names. I wouldn't know the minister. I know you, Marissa, on the street, but you too, Nikki. Abby, I will next time. Anyhow, I'm wondering if we could just have folks like change their name and just dash committee member, so we know who is part of the committee and who's public, because I don't know that I've ever seen the gentleman that we're talking about. And generally, like, I agree, Marissa, that I wonder if there's some just over, like an overview of education about how, you know, just the big picture, what we're dealing with and why this is even important. Like, we talk about what y'all are doing and how y'all are doing it and why it's important in the city, but maybe there's just some statistics that can be like, this is happening, this is real. It's not whether you have enough money, it's not whether you have, you know, good housekeeping. Gentrification is real, people are getting pushed out of their communities. Like, I don't know, people are, redlining is real, it's happening, there's different forms of it even still to, I don't know, it seems like if we're coming into the space where we're supposed to be advocating, and it's nice to have different perspectives, but it is also nice to have like a very ground level, entry level idea of why we're here, or why this is
important. Makes me think maybe, you know, the Fair Housing Council of Oregon does, you know, fair housing training and education, which is, you know, a pretty high level overview. Maybe that's something, if you do feel like that would be beneficial, I could ask Alan and Fair Housing Council of Oregon if they might be able to provide that kind of, you know, bird's eye view, overview, historical context of fair housing, if we feel like we need to back up a little bit.
Yeah. I can see a real benefit in that. I think also just in the interim and like absent a specific training opportunity like that, I wonder if there's ways to kind of incorporate some of that education into just the way we manage or conduct the business of the meeting in general. Just like, you know, and maybe this is asking PHB staff to be more directive or to have like a certain level of like explanation with certain agenda items. But like, for example, when we talk about an element of the fair housing plan and we say, we're talking about, today we're talking about economic opportunity, having there be some context setting where just some information is shared at that moment to say, this is why it's a part of the fair housing plan. This is how we see economic opportunity as connected to fair housing issues. This is why fair housing goes beyond just one person discriminating against another person, right? Like, and I know that would require like staff time to really create materials like that or like create language like that. But I mean, I just think that by way of explanation, like incorporating that into everything we do could be much more effective than just a one-time training that is very broad.
And so, people may or may not be there for it. People may or may not come to it. But I like that, Marissa. I don't even think it has to be that. It's just a quest. Like if we're always answering the question for each agenda item, like why is this important? If right. we can make a two sentence, this is important because
dot.
You know, it doesn't have to be lengthy or, you know, for each agenda item or just an overall at the beginning, like we're here today because this is what's happening. It feels like there's like different people in the meetings every time. There's a couple people that keep coming over and over, but it feels like a lot of folks that aren't there, but then there's new folks. Is that happening, Nikki? It feels like it is or not?
I was thinking that, you know, when you were saying, you know, not necessarily seeing all the committee, I think, you know, the Zoom environment where a lot of people have their cameras off, right? Yeah. And then mixed with a quarterly meeting schedule, right? And that has been the entirety of this committee, right? In its current format, we've been on Zoom. And so I think that's probably playing quite a bit into it. The committee members themselves haven't really changed that much. We've had a couple resignations and we had a couple people change out in one position seat for Multnomah County with some staff turnover, but the majority of the committee, the membership has stayed stable. I think just attendance and then Zoom and then only having a meeting once a quarter is probably getting folks less familiar with one another. And there hasn't been a lot of, you know, discussion participation, and we have that barrier too happening with Zoom, right? That it's harder to see people's faces and recognize them, I think, and get a good handle on that.
Yeah, okay.
But I appreciate what you're saying, Marissa. I will try to keep that in mind. And I think I was also not aware of how much, you know, that kind of laying the land for the systemic and institutional aspects of fair housing that we should lead in with. And I will try as we move forward to make sure that we have some better context as to why each section is included. So I think that's also on me for maybe assuming a little bit more familiarity with the level of work that with the committee members and the analysis. Okay. So with that said, meeting facilitation moving forward, I think I can ask for folks to add into their Zoom handles, like just FHAC, so that can help us identify. I can also send out the current member list to both of you so that you have that directly on hand for reference as well. I think that would be good for both of you. And I was also going to ask if you wanted to handle like the roll calls and the call to order moving forward, which would require you to have that list as well. And we're going to have some items that are going to be like taking votes. So I wanted to get each of your thoughts on whether you would be comfortable handling that portion of the meeting facilitation.
Go ahead, President.
I mean, sure. Yeah, I'm happy to help with that. Me and Jay could maybe take turns or something like that.
I don't want to call the meeting to order, but I'll do the roll call if you want.
Okay, yeah.
I always get so nervous. Like I've had to step in on board meetings before. I hate it.
So I didn't want to launch it on anybody, and the bylaws are just like chair and vice chair facilitate the meeting with staff support, but it doesn't get specific, right? So, but I, you know, I want you two to feel comfortable too, and not just like I'm assigning you random agenda items, you know, but that you are in fact facilitating the meeting as we move through the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think that'll help too to recognize some faces if you do the roll call, Jay.
Yeah. Okay. How many committee members are there?
There are 16 seats. We have one vacancy at the moment,
okay,
which is a jurisdictional vacancy.
I guess my other question, though, going back to, you know, when members of the public are engaging during our conversation. So I realize with Zoom specifically, there are different formats of doing a meeting where you can have panelists and then you have the public. And I know that's like, it just takes more, it's more complicated to set up a meeting like that. But what I'm wondering is, because we're doing meetings like this where you have committee members and members of the public all together, you know, with equal permissions in the meeting, is it possible to get like staff help with when members of the public are engaging during a discussion? Like, because I just feel like that's, it's definitely awkward. It feels weird to tell someone in the public, hey, you can't talk right now. But then also, I think it's, it would be helpful if it's sort of more of a general reminder, like, you know, so-and-so starts chatting and then someone else recognizes, oh, I have the list of who's here. This is not a committee member. And I'm just gonna, as staff, say, just a reminder, we already had public comment, or we have public comment at this time. So just so everyone on the committee understands, like, what is this comment? And doesn't have to go through the process of figuring out who it is that's commenting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And I think that is kind of traditionally how it's been handled whenever, mm-hmm. you know, somebody does just kind of like unmute and jump in, or, you know, use a raise mm-hmm. hand function. We just haven't had a lot of it for FPAC, and we have just gotten away with the brief reminder at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I can give another committee-wide kind of a reminder with a little mm-hmm. bit more detail. And I didn't interrupt last time because sometimes it's hard to tell whether it's going to be brief or not. And then a conversation started engaging and I was like, okay.
I do not remember this. I don't, it's, this, we need yeah. to have these meetings more often. I have no clue what y'all are talking about.
Yeah, it was fine. And then I was like, okay, yeah, that might also, and then, you know, hearing what Jay is saying, that makes sense. So I'll do another reminder. We will have the list. I can send something out too with the agenda to the full committee so that they have it in writing before. We'll talk about it as we enter. And then, you know, we can interrupt, you know, or remind other committee members, right, to reserve that for the public comment period. So if somebody's like putting something in the chat, then we'll get to public comment and I can just read those off or ask that person if they're still there to unmute. And then committee members can respond at that time.
Okay.
I wonder if I thought everyone who was talking was on the committee. So that must be my bad, because
I think there was, you were chatting with Barbara, who is on the committee, I think for a while. And then right. there was a gentleman from the public who I think mm-hmm. then entered the conversation.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And then there were several people kind of commenting and responding at that point. And it was mm-hmm. mostly committee members, mm-hmm. if I recall, but it just was another member of the public that, it didn't derail anything too much. Oh. I think the conversation would have been substantially similar. I just mm-hmm. wanted to kind of, put that up as a reminder for you two too, for like when you're in your sections of your agenda items, right? And somebody asks you a question in the chat, that's not a committee member, right? That you can just kind of keep moving on and we'll bring it back up during the public comment period. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. The next item for us is reviewing the meeting schedule poll results. So I did send out that poll that we talked about. We're discussing the possibility of forming a subcommittee that could meet on a more frequent basis, or the option of increasing the meeting frequency for the full committee. So I sent that out. I got 9 out of 15 committee members responding. So not everybody. I did do my best to send out a reminder email and all of that. And thank you for your feedback on the poll format. Overall, it seems that most people would like to keep just the full committee, full body of committee members meeting on a quarterly schedule, and to form a subcommittee that meets on a more frequent basis, and that the area of focus for that subcommittee it varied a bit, but policy and best practices research seemed to come out a little bit more ahead. So I've got my screen shared here. I didn't feel like we needed to break down into percentages or anything because it was just 9 entries. The areas of focus that people did answer, we've got 3 out of 9 were interested in community engagement and advocacy. We've got 4 were interested in policy and best practices research. 1 said any topic that is not related to the any type of analysis requirement, and noted that it can be difficult as a jurisdictional member to attend more frequent meetings when topics may not be relevant to the work occurring in their own jurisdiction. So that would be for, you know, City of Gresham or Multnomah County staff, right, outside of Portland. So they were just saying, you know, can we keep those, whatever it is, Portland specific or non-HUD requirement related work, which I think is fine. And then 1 for accountability and penalties.
That was me. I didn't know the other word other than penalties to be like, how do we make people pay for this?
Yeah, I think it could be enforcement. It could be enforcement. It could also be part of policy, right? It could be like policy and enforcement, right? There's kind of a few mm-hmm. different things that could happen there. So I wanted to get both of your thoughts on these results and whether you feel like we're ready to take a vote on forming a subcommittee, or whether you think we should explore the area of focus for the subcommittee and have more discussion around that, or what should our next steps be for the meeting and the agenda item next month?
I mean, I would just say my 2 cents is, it seems pretty clear as far as the main meeting, you know, remaining quarterly, that seems to be pretty clear consensus. I mean, it sounds like there's quite a bit of interest in the subcommittee on policy and best practices. And I mean, Jay, like, I'm just curious from your own perspective, if you feel like a policy and best practices would be a good place to explore accountability and enforcement.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it seems like there's 2 that stands out. That 1, policy and best practice research. I feel like enforcement could fall into there. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the idea there was that the subcommittee could kind of get into the more detailed look at what other jurisdictions or other states or other areas may be doing, whether it's for enforcement or policy, and then use that to inform the feedback of our own policy recommendations, right? So they would just have a better footing on that they can share with the full committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's obviously a community engagement and advocacy. So it seems like there's 2 definite committees that are rising.
Yes. And the community engagement and advocacy, I mean, I think, you know, eventually the idea within FHAC is that, you know, once the plan is developed and the set of policies, that FHAC, you know, continues to advocate for those and engages with the public on that process. So I don't know we want to consider that full committee work or whether we do want to consider it a subcommittee, but maybe we want to hold off on having what would be a 3rd subcommittee. We have the executive committee, which is you 2. We would have the policy and best practices. So this would be a 3rd subcommittee. Mm-hmm. And we got to think about people's capacities as well. On the meeting schedule, it looked like they were thinking every other month was the most common response for a subcommittee meeting.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to water down the aim of a community engagement and advocacy group, but I do wonder if maybe there's a way to incorporate that in a policy and best practices group. I mean, if nothing else, just to say like, so if a policy and best practices research subcommittee is charged with investigating potential policies that other jurisdictions or states are using and approaches are using, that there be some, you know, important element there of engaging the community at whatever point when, you know, maybe we would want to create recommendations or something like that. It's not the same at all, but I think that, yeah, that might be important just to incorporate no matter what. And then like you're saying within the main committee, I guess we're hopefully going to address engagement through the development of the Fair Housing Plan.
I mean, it may have the same challenges to face too with its quarterly meeting schedule, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's definitely something to consider. I also just want to be mindful. I don't want to create a bunch of subcommittees. People are hesitant to join them, or, you know, they do join them all, right? But it becomes difficult for everybody to try and fulfill that commitment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for now and for the next month, do you two feel comfortable then putting that, reviewing these results with the full committee? And then taking a vote on creating a subcommittee for policy and best practices research that meets every other month.
Yeah. I guess since the numbers are so close, like the more I look at it, I'm just like, yeah, it does feel like a really kind of even split. It will be good to get discussion in the group because, you know, not everyone took the survey. So if there's a lot of people there who say, hey, I didn't do the survey, but if I had, I would have expressed support for community engagement advocacy, that maybe we can kind of incorporate that into how we decide as a group to move forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah, there could be more discussion.
I have a question. So I get what you mean about like spreading people too thin and people not having enough time. But I wonder, and maybe I'm just reading this wrong, I wonder if we had an option for folks to join one of two committees, including, for me, I will join. I think we need to meet more. And I think that when we do meet, we don't have enough time to really get shit done. So if we had dedicated people that were meeting, you know, even if they met quarterly, at least they're meeting with some focus and bringing it back to the group, even if it's so when we do our deep dives, at least we have something more than whatever we get together every 4 months or every 3 months. You know what I mean? It doesn't seem like if people are willing to be on the committee, if they're like at least at, you know, like a minimum of two people are willing to really discuss and bring something back to the larger committee, it seems like it wouldn't be a loss for us to have more focus on community engagement advocacy and more focus on policy and best practice research if people are willing to do it. Not suggest that everybody do two or three things, just like pick one that you really are committed to, do that, and then bring us back something more than what we're going to do every quarter. It's like, how do we maximize the people that we have in the small amount of time that we have?
Okay. Do you want to, so bring them both up? We could have them take a vote to create both, or just have more discussion and let it lead there.
Yeah. I wouldn't be opposed to just saying what I said here and, you know, people can choose what they choose. I don't want to choose for them, especially if that we still have seven people who didn't vote and maybe they want to choose community engagement advocacy. That's why they're here. Maybe that, you know, these bigger, larger meetings feel like they're not as productive as they could be. And I would just like to let the people vote. That's my opinion.
Okay, well, that sounds like a plan. I do have it in the draft agenda and I can make sure we have enough time for it. I was thinking that Marisa could potentially cover the poll results and do the vote. How does that feel?
Sure.
Okay, great. And then from there, once there's a vote, I'm gonna make sure that there's nothing else more formal that we need to do. I don't think there is. I think once we do the vote, then it's just getting folks to volunteer to be on that subcommittee. And then, you know, we'll have a subcommittee meeting. We'll have to come up with a description for the purpose of the subcommittee, and we can, you know, hammer out the details of quorum and how many people are on there, and the official meeting schedule after that. So whether we need to do that for two or one, we will see. All right. Okay. 2:30, looking pretty good. Might even be even earlier. So definitely be able to get you out of here to get your kids at 3, EJ. So for next month, what we currently have is just the general, you know, roll call to order. So I'll put you both on there and get you out those lists. Any updates that we have from PHB? Right now, I know that, you know, we'll need to be announcing that there's the Fair Housing Proclamation being read at City Council next month. And I'll send out that information, but I'll have an update about how that went by the time that this meeting comes up next month. We also have some reappointments that need to be made in September, which seems like a far ways away, but will be coming up quickly on us. I assume most committee members will be moving forward with being reappointed, but if we need to do any recruitment, we'll want to get started on that. So I will cover all of that information in our update section. We can do the subcommittee poll results, discuss those, take any votes with Marisa, a public comment period. And then my last two items, I have presentation to be determined and discussion to be determined, related discussion, so that we keep that same kind of format. So I did want to clarify from our previous meeting, we had discussed doing a presentation and then having a discussion immediately afterwards. And I believe that was our preferred format, right? Not doing a presentation at the end and recapping at the next meeting. So I had both of them on here. When we lined everything up from the Portland Fair Housing assessments and looking at all those different areas of analysis, the first one was to kind of give, you know, a general overview of the demographic changes that have happened since 1990, but also most importantly, what has shifted and changed since the last time a fair housing assessment was done. And PHB's data team was going to provide that analysis. However, there has been some delays in getting new census data, and it's not going to be available until March 18th, which means that the demographic analysis, which was the first item, may not be ready in time for our April FPAC, or if it is, it may not be as detailed as we would like it to be. Mm-hmm. So that's one item that could go into this presentation to be determined spot. We had also previously discussed doing the RSO service areas presentation, right? And learning more about the rental services office within the Housing Bureau. And last time we had this executive meeting, which was in December. If you can take your brains back, Brianna was on the call. She's on the call again today. She had offered that up. We had put it on the agenda, but then we ended up striking it from the January agenda because we felt like we didn't have enough time. That is another item that could go into this presentation to be determined slot. Or we just talked about potentially doing, you know, a general education overview from Fair Housing Council of Oregon. So that could be a third option that we could put into that slot. So to review again, one would be we might have the demographic summary ready, depending on when the census data is released, if it does get released in time. Second one could be the RSO services and overview. A third, we could ask for general fair housing training if we feel like we still want to lay the land a little bit. And that does not negate the feedback to incorporate more context, right, before each presentation about more systemic and institutional fair housing issues.
I remember talking about RSO. I can't remember what the overview was gonna, I mean, is it, what type of, what it was gonna focus on?
Yeah. Breon, you're here. Feel free to join in as I recap again what I believe to be the presentation on covering the service areas and programs that the Rental Services Office supports. Much of that work is done through community partners, but we do have educational programming, legal programming, some things like that, that are funded and supported through that office. And Breon is our manager of the Rental Services Office and my direct manager. And she had a presentation that she had offered previously.
Yeah, it's just a general overview of services, resources that the community can access, the RSO help desk that provides, you know, technical assistance to landlords and tenants. So it's just sort of like a general overview to sort of flesh out that landscape.
Well, I would be interested in definitely the changes since the last survey, if that's available, and then if it's not available, then RSO sounds good to me. I don't know if we can get together. I honestly think that there could be a general education for like, this is where we're starting. But I also think that if anybody misses it, it's over. So I would maybe if we got some data that we just threw up at the beginning of every meeting, like this is why we're here, just a recap, just a reminder, you should be able, by the end of all these meetings in the next 7 years, when we're done with this thing, y'all should be able to recite this information. Like you're on this committee for a reason and here's the reason. So as far as education goes, I think that it would be, like Marissa said, like more effective to bring it in when we have a major agenda item, why this is important, why even like, If Breon does the RSO, like, why is this important? What does this have to do with us and why?
Yeah, I agree that I think my first preference, and this is just me speaking as staff, would be that if we have the demographic analysis to see the shifts, that would be the number one thing I would want on that slot, because it does the work towards the planning. And I think it also would kind of start setting us into a pace too. And we would also have data to see, right? This is why we're here. We, you know, as we've discussed many times, we know that the data shows inequities, right? And then the committee is going to review that as well. So just another point of education there. So if it's available, we could definitely put it in there. And then we could do the RSO presentation if it's not. Marisa, do you feel similarly?
I agree on the first point. Definitely the demographic summary would be my top priority. But I think I'll have to go against the grain here and say I do think that the something a little bit more level setting from Fair Housing Council would be really helpful, because I think it's kind of a both and, right? Like we need those moments where we're reinforcing some of these understandings around fair housing and contextualizing what we do, but it might be nice just to get it on the agenda and get it done, if nothing else, because then it's a part of our work we've done publicly and we can always refer back to it, you know, like it's a little easier to maybe hold folks accountable. And, you know, even if you don't attend, I would hope watch the recording. You know, so I don't know, making time for that feels like a good use of our time.
Yeah. Would that be hard to get to figure that out in the next month, Nikki?
Yeah, that would be the only barrier to that. I can reach out to Alan today as soon as we get off that meeting. You know, the Fair Housing Council of Oregon does trainings like that quite regularly for a lot of different organizations. It's part of their, you know, regular educational offerings. Some are pretty extensive. I don't know if you ever heard, like, there's the Fair Housing bus tour, right, where they drive you through the city and teach you about all the impacts that Portland has, and talks about redlining, and, you know, that it's a wonderful educational opportunity for folks, but that's a whole day thing. And then they also have more, you know, boiled down, I believe, just like hour long presentations that they give to organizations. So I don't think it should be too difficult, but I can't speak, you know, on behalf of Fair Housing Council of Oregon, but I'll put out the request and we can see what they say.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Yeah, but we're not asking them to build it from scratch, so I feel fairly optimistic about it. Yeah.
Just a quick little housekeeping thing. My last name doesn't have an H in it. And that's my, my married last name. I am officially successfully divorced. So
okay. So should I just use Rutherford?
Rutherford. Okay. Like nails on a chalkboard looking at that name. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm also going through a name change. So I'm updating my name in a million different spots. So I hear you.
That's a lot.
All right. Well, if you guys feel fine with kind of leaving that in like a priority order of demographic analysis, general education, and then RSO presentation in that preference, I can try to get that firmed up over the next couple of weeks and then send you out the draft agenda with those items in there. Either way, I thought, Jay, if you could do kind of that discussion recap, I think you're, you know, very successful at getting folks to turn on their cameras and get engaged. So if I could utilize that again to recap or flesh out any questions or anything regarding the presentation, and we can end the meeting there.
Cool. I'm in.
All right, well, it's 2:40, so it's even earlier. So I think I can ask Ryan to maybe adjust the executive committee meetings to an hour. Or do you think I should leave them at an hour and a half? I think an hour is plenty.
Yeah,
an hour
is plenty. Okay, no need to tie up your schedules.
Yeah. One quick question. So if we don't get the data needed for an update on the demographic analysis in time, will there be any update, I guess, maybe at the beginning of the meeting about the fair housing plan and just progress update or anything like that?
Yeah, I can give a progress update at that time. They're working on that now. There's also some, you know, finalizing of the Bureau's State of Housing report and the federal consolidated plan. So they have a lot of like analysis items happening now, and then they're waiting on that census data. I'll give an update either way of where things are at, just for both of your knowledge. I also spent some time talking to Taylor, who's on our committee and works with Home Forward, to talk about a voucher holder analysis they did regarding race and ethnicity and geographic location across the city. So we've got that in the works. There's also the disproportionate housing needs, which was part of the Portland Fair Housing Plan, that is in pretty good condition too. But echoing again the same point, I was a little worried about trying to slide that into April, because that gets, I felt like maybe we needed a little more easing in and laying of the land as well. Because looking at, it really gets into, disproportionate housing needs in terms of habitability and affordability and a lot of things, which is going to be really good, but felt a bit meaty to start off with. So those things are all coming, and I'll give updates to the full committee next month.
Awesome.
And then also just as a FYI to both of you, the proclamation is going to be read by City Council on Wednesday, April 6th. If you're interested, I can send you out the information if you want to listen in. We do have a time certain, I believe at 9:45 a.m.
9:45 on April 6th?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I can put that in this end. Please send it, yes.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks.
All right. Thank you both.
Is that, just to clarify, because I, you know, there's no such thing as a dumb question. Is that where they talk about all what Portland plans to do and how we're moving forward and all that good stuff?
Yes, they will. Yeah. Proclaim April as Fair Housing Month. There's, you know, a little bit about the current challenges that the city faced. They do pull some talking points, you know, about the fact that Portland remains unaffordable to the average Black family. There is some information just regarding what has happened over the last year with like emergency rental assistance, things like that. Fair Housing Council of Oregon presents their poster contest winners. So they send out, you know, they have like a Fair Housing Month poster. They send that out to elementary aged kids throughout Portland and Multnomah County. They get voted on and they have different categories of winners. So Fair Housing Council of Oregon also presents all those winners. Traditionally, the children would also like come to City Hall and there, you know, they would get to listen to the proclamation and take pictures. And there was also like a display in the atrium. We didn't do that this year given COVID, but some of the families still listen in. Some of the kids get to see their artwork up for city council. And then the mayor reads the proclamation.
Wait, there's a proclamation read every year, but it's
yes,
not just
for April.
We're not talking about the same thing every year. There's just.
Yeah, the proclamation is just proclaiming April to be Fair Housing Month.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, there's all the lead in to it, right? Talking about the current conditions of fair housing.
Okay. Okay, I'll be there. That sounds fun to pick apart later on. Just kidding.
Yeah, it's okay. I appreciate it.
It's always good to see y'all.
Good to see you.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys enjoy the sun? Have a good
afternoon. Yeah. Time to walk now. I'm going to go walk over there and get them. I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right. Happy the rest of March. We'll see you in April.
See you.